Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's a Buffalo Football Friday. It is today a Buffalo Football Friday, a Buffalo Football Explanation Friday, Buffalo Waiver Wire Explanation Friday. It's a Buffalo Hockey Friday with the Jets tonight, Sabres at the Jets tonight. It's a Buffalo College Basketball Friday. We have a huge, huge game locally tomorrow here. One of the bigger games we've seen in a while between two local teams. Tomorrow, UB, St. Bonaventure. And it's a Buffalo football Sean McDermott injury update Friday, as well as a Patrick Hammer Buffalo football weather Friday with Patrick Hammer. Wow, did I cover all the bases, Joe Kelly? And we got Buffalo, we got Buffalo Friday here today.
Yeah, I think we got there. So a lot going on.
We have a lot going on today. And I know it's a Buffalo football Friday, but I mean, when you have a Friday in December with so much on the plate and so much going on, you got to try and cover all the bases. And we're going to try to do that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today. I mean, we still have to tell you, it is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8 to buy Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. I feel like, you ever see, you guys have watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? Not the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory remake. I mean the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You've seen it, right?
What is it?
Yeah, you got
so
it.
So little to do, so much time. Strike that, reverse it.
That's right. Yeah. I always think about that in situations like this. Mm-hmm. I always think about Willy Wonka and Gene Wilder saying, we have so little to do and so much time. Then he stops and goes, strike that, reverse it. Because you have so much to do. Yep. And maybe that's why he said it like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have today. We got a lot going on today, and we're going to do it. Let me lay out the program for you, okay? At 10:30 a.m., we're going to have George Halkovich on. He is the head coach at the University of Buffalo men's basketball team. And I'm going to say your undefeated Bulls. How about that? 8-0 on the season. Great start to the year. But they are playing the 8-1. Your 8-1 St. Bonaventure Bonnies tomorrow at UB Alumni Arena, 2 p.m. It's going to be an awesome local college hoops game. I love that for this area. And we're going to have George on at 10:30, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll have Bonnie's head coach, Mark Schmidt, on at 10:45 or so, like in that area. So that whole the whole second half hour here, we'll hear from George Halkovich, we'll hear from Mark Schmidt, we'll talk about the game, the season they're having. Really cool stuff to have that here today and this weekend in Buffalo. At 11 a.m., very briefly, we'll talk with Paul Hamilton just to check in on tonight's game. Sabres at the Jets. I'm still fuming about the challenge the other night, Owen. I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't think it was worth it, and it wound up costing them. I'm not saying I agree with – I heard Duffer and Marty yesterday, and I think Duffer was right. Like, each goal was independent of one another, but I don't believe they should have challenged because I do think it was a snowball effect.
It was a moment where it was not worth the risk.
Correct.
It was never – you were down. You had already taken two penalties in the first 5 minutes of that game. You got a young goalie in there who's trying to find his game, and you've already put him shorthanded twice.
It wasn't like it made it 2-0.
Right.
It was 1-1. You had the first goal. That's okay.
Right.
We can survive this.
You get back to even. 100%. All right. We're good here. That was a weird power play. Let's just get our game. I think it was a horrible decision.
Me too.
I think it wasn't goalie interference. I've seen some people still that think it was. And they're pointing to the Benson one from Carolina, and it's a completely different play.
Yeah.
It's a completely different play.
I don't know. It reminds me of what is a catch from years ago in the NFL, right?
Well,
what is goalie interference? We don't know. So I'm still fuming about that, but that turned into a Sabres loss in Philadelphia, and then they lose more ground. And every time this team feels like it's gaining some ground and looking good on one day, they don't the next day. And now they take on a Jets team who, oh, by the way, had a closed-door meeting the last time they were here because they lost to the Sabres, and now players-only meeting. So now they're playing tonight. We'll get with Paul Hamilton about that at about 11. Sean McDermott, Bill's head coach, in the 11 a.m. hour. A lot of times it's a moving target. I'd say right around 11:15 today. Could be a little before. Could be a little after. So, you know, we'll move around Paul if we have to. It was before that. But we'll expect him around 11:15 today here to give us an injury update and status on what's happening for the Buffalo Bills Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Pat Hammer at 11:30. A weather check for Sunday. I think it's going to snow. I'll let Pat tell you all those details. In the meantime, this is what I want to do, okay? I want to take a few moments here to kind of walk through the operation of what happened over the last 24 hours or so, give some clarity on some of the rules that obviously a lot of people just are very unclear on, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of rules in the NFL. There's a lot of things. I misspoke on something I said the other day, and people are like, you said this. I'll get to all of that about what happened with the Bills claiming Darius Slay, the Bills waiving Jamarcus Ingram, him being claimed by the Houston Texans, Darius Slay saying he's not coming to Buffalo, what the operation was there of how it could have been prevented, if it could have at all, and what happens going forward, or at least the options, without knowing exactly what happens. And I want to give you a chance to ask any questions about it. Or give your thoughts on it at 803-0550. Right now I have open phone lines. You want to be mad about what the Bills did? Every right to. And you can call and do that. You want to ask questions about what happened? Every right to. I would at least ask you, though, to listen to how I lay it out here and tell you the timelines and the procedures. And maybe that can give people a little more clarity on things that apparently a lot of you have conceptions about, perceptions about, that aren't reality. And that's okay, because there's a lot of rules in the NFL, like I said. Let's start with this, okay? The NFL has a waiver system that they put into place that really is more so in the early in the part of the season that we talk about, cutdown day. Right? We always talk about waivers on cutdown day. So for most of the season, when the season starts, until the trade deadline, okay? When a player is let go by a team, cut, released, waived, all these words matter, right? When a player has been in the league 4 or more years, this is before the trade deadline, okay? This is from September, October, into the first week of November. If he's been in the league more than 4 years, he is immediately a free agent. That player gets cut, he can sign with a team immediately, another team. If the player had not been in the league 4 years yet, he gets waived, not released. Waived means he goes on waivers. How do waivers work? Well, every team in the league has a chance to say, we want that player. They put a claim in on him. The priority for who he goes to for the first 4 to 5 weeks of the year is based on last year's draft position. Once you get to early October, it basically goes by this year's reverse order of standings. So they give the first month or so to say last year's draft order is the waiver claim order. So it would have been Tennessee with the first pick. So they have the first opportunity to claim a player. So if there's 10 teams who claim a player, It goes to the top team. In this case, for the beginning of the year, it'd be Tennessee. And if they want five guys, they get them. It doesn't reset. Okay, they get that guy, they get that guy, they get that guy. Okay. Bills, they drafted where last year, you know, late 20s. So they would have that particular waiver pick. Okay. That's for guys who are released who have less than 4 years. Once you get to October, it flips to the current order of standings, reverse order. Which, by the way, I think Tennessee would also be number one still. Are they the number one? Are they the top? Does Tennessee have the worst record? Do they have the number one pick right now? They would have the number one waiver pick now, too.
Almost positive, yeah.
I think
I'll double check.
Okay. Now let's go to where we are now. Once you get to the trade deadline, which was a little over a month ago, or about a month ago. Once you get to the trade deadline, it does not matter how long you've been in this league. Every single person waived, released, has to go through waivers. This prevents a team from having shenanigans with another team, meaning, oh, okay, it's playoff time and you really want that guy? Pass the trade deadline. So how about we release him so he can go to you and then you give us something in the offseason? They don't want that. Totally understandable. So the league says, all right, once we get to the trade deadline, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the league. If you get released, you're actually waived. You go on waivers. Any team can claim you. And then from there, a team can go, well, we want that guy because he's going to help us. We want that guy because we don't want the other team in our conference to get him, whatever it is. And you put a claim in on him. And again, it goes in, at that point, reverse order of standings. And if a team has a 2-win record, they're probably going to get the player they want. If not, it's going to go down. You know, a lot of times veterans, though, they're not going to go to teams that are out of contention. Mostly veterans this time of year are going to go to teams, get claimed by teams that are in contention. Teams out of contention are going with, you know, younger players anyway. So what does waivers mean? Okay. So whether it's early in the season or now, when a player goes on waivers, and this is the big key point, I think, that a lot of people are misunderstanding. When a player is on waivers, he is still the property. I don't love using that term, but that's the way it is, his contract. He is still the property of the team that waived him. So when he's on waivers, while he's on waivers, and everybody has one day to tell the league, because you have 24 hours. The waiver period is like 24 hours, like 4 p.m. to 4 p.m. All right, we're going to decide tomorrow at 4 p.m. where he goes to, but you have until then to put the claim in. So you basically have a day to decide if you want to put a claim in. In that one day, he's still the property of the team that waived him. And the reason is, okay, this is important, if he clears waivers, all right, early in the season, the guys who clear waivers that are under 4 years, they revert back to the team. And then they can make a decision just to release him because he's cleared waivers. Same thing happens in hockey, I believe. You clear waivers, revert back to the team, right, Owen? Same thing happens there.
Yeah, you clear waivers and you go back down to the AHL.
100%. So that's why you got to do that. It's the same thing in football. Early in the season, guy gets waived. He's still on the team that's waived him because he's got to clear the waivers. No one claims him. Then he goes back to that team. And then the team says, oh, we'll release him. Now he doesn't have to clear waivers. Now we can just make him a free, or give an injury settlement, whatever it is. Here, Darius Slay gets waived. He's on waivers. He's actually still the property of the Pittsburgh Steelers while he's on waivers, okay? So because he's the property of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Buffalo Bills can't just call up and go, hey, dude, we want to claim you. Do you want to come to Buffalo? Can't do that. They can't just call up his representative, Drew Rosenhaus, and say, hey, dude, we want to claim your client. Is he going to come to Buffalo? Can't do that. That's called tampering. Now, am I naive enough to tell you that never happens in a league where guys and teams and talk? No, but you don't do it. You're not supposed to do it. It's against the rules, and you could get in a lot of trouble for stuff like that. There's different kinds of back-channeling that happens in a lot of sports. We know that, right? But you can't just call up the player. You can't just call up the representative and say, hey, we're going to claim your guys. You want to come here? Doesn't work like that. You decide you want them, you put a claim in. You know that either you're getting them or someone else is getting them. He's not going back to the team because you put in a claim. Right? I always remember, and I brought up this story several times this morning, or the last 24 hours, when Sean Merriman was claimed by the Buffalo Bills back in the early 2000s-ish, 2010s, whatever, 2010 I think it was. And he has told this story many times where he gets put on waivers, and all of a sudden Buddy Nix, the general manager of the Bills, just calls him up and goes, hey, we claimed you. And he's like, what? I'm not going to Buffalo. No, you can't do that. And he's like, yeah, we can and we did, and you got to come here. And he didn't want to come to Buffalo, but he had no choice because the Bills claimed him. But the Bills didn't call him and ask him. They just did it. But anyway, Merriman has told that story, and it always sticks with me in a situation like this. He eventually came to Buffalo, and he actually really liked it. But you can't just call the player's agent and say, oh, we want to do this. Now, there was a report from – there's a reporter in Philly named Jeff McLean who does a really good job. And actually, when Slay was put on waivers, he did tweet out he thought it was possible he wouldn't report to Buffalo when he was claimed. And I'm like, wonder how he knows that. So obviously there was something percolating there that maybe, you know, this guy wouldn't do that. Or he only wanted to go to Philly. Didn't matter. Doesn't matter who puts in a claim. He's got to go where that team is. Because now that that's happened, and I'll get to the other flip side in a second with Jamarcus Ingram. But once it happens, it's like that's the guy's got to go to where he's claimed. He immediately, by the way, when you claim a player, whether it's early in the year or whether it's now, when you claim a player and you get awarded that player, he must immediately go to your 53-man roster. You cannot claim a player to go to the practice squad. That is totally different. That's a free agent that's on the street that you say want to come here for a few weeks, but they remain free agents. All practice squad players are free agents even when they're on the practice squad. In this case, waivers, you claim them, you get them, you get awarded, he's got to go to your 53. So what happens then? Because he goes to your 53, if you don't have a spot, you have to waive somebody else. The Bills decided here they were going to waive Jamarcus Ingram. Okay, when I was asked about this on Shoot Up with the Bulldog 2 days ago, my apologies, I misspoke and said I believe they had a 24-hour grace period. That is not the case. I was confusing it with when a guy comes back from injured reserve. When a guy comes back from injured reserve, they have like 1 day to kind of make the transaction when he gets activated, okay, to grace period. So that happens. My fault for confusing it. I apologize. There's a lot of rules here, like I said. When the Bills claimed Darius Slay, they had to make room for him on their roster. It had to be that transaction that day. They decided to waive Jamarcus Ingram. You all know I've always loved Jamarcus Ingram as far as a guy that I think deserves a little more run, opportunity, shine. Never thought he's an all-pro type of player or even a 17-game starter in this league, but certainly somebody who's valuable to the Buffalo Bills. A guy that I have always liked his game. I love his length. I love his versatility. Why wouldn't you? Some of you have pointed that out to me on social media. Ha ha, what's Sal going to do? His guy, Jamarcus Ingram, oh my God, is he okay? Yes, it's fine. I've always loved Jamarcus Ingram. And I hate the fact the Bills lost him. I think he's very valuable. No doubt about that. I don't think he's irreplaceable, but I think he's extremely valuable. And now you just gave him away for nothing, essentially, which sucks for this team. This is a fourth corner, okay? Depth outside corner, fourth corner, who has something that many teams covet in this league. Ability to play outside, inside, nickel, dime safety. Like, guys like that don't come around all the time. He's not necessarily, you know, talented, good enough to be an everyday starter, but he's certainly good enough to play on an NFL team, be a very valuable contributor on your special teams, and get used in a pinch in a lot of different places. And that's why I've always liked Jamarcus Ingram. So I think losing him is a big blow to the Bills as far as having depth, as far as having a guy in their system who can do all that. Because Darius Slay isn't coming here to play special teams. Darius Slay isn't coming here to play all around the defense in different situations. So I think, well, why did the Bills claim Darius Slay? Did they just want to keep him from Philadelphia where it was kind of known he wanted to go because they play in a few weeks? They could wind up, I guess, you know, playing in the Super Bowl. Maybe, but is that really worth the risk of losing Jamarcus Ingram? I don't know. I don't think so. Is it just because, hey, Brandon Bean saw what happened last year in the AFC title game, and they didn't have a veteran corner to put in once Christian Benford got hurt, and it didn't go well with Kyrie Elam, as we know. I think it could just be that. Now, as far as losing Ingram, I don't like it. But I would say the Bills knew the risk, right? Like, they knew. They knew when they waived Jamarcus Ingram, someone could claim him. Unfortunately, he went to a conference rival who already beat the Bills, who you could wind up playing in the playoffs. Like, that's not ideal. So I don't like that. But I also would say, but the Bills knew that that could happen, so were they just going to waive him anyway down the road? Like, were they going to sign Dane Jackson and waive him? I don't know. Like, I don't know those things. We'll see, and maybe we will never know. Maybe we will. But now he's on the Texans. And once he got claimed by the Texans, He's there. He's their property. He's going there. And Darius Slay now is a member of the Buffalo Bills on the 53-man roster. So what happens from here? Until there's a resolution, Darius Slay stays in the Bills' 53-man roster. What are those resolutions? What could they include? They could include the Bills convincing Darius Slay to come to Buffalo and be a member of their team. That could happen. Could include Darius Slay saying, I'm out, I'm retiring. Sorry, I'm not playing football. If that's the case, he would go on what's called the reserve retired list. He would still be property of the Buffalo Bills. His contract would be held by the Bills. But he would be on a reserve list and would not count towards the 53-man roster. Therefore, if he did decide to unretire next year, he would still be a member of the Bills, unless in the meantime, the Bills at some point got rid of him and said, we don't need you, we'll tear up your contract, we'll release you. Okay, that could happen. But if they didn't, they would hold his contract in perpetuity, basically, until they decided if he wanted to come back. Like, I think Joe brought up, like, Anquan Boldin today, and he was, you know, just using an example, like, when Anquan Boldin retired. I think the Bills actually eventually did release Anquan Boldin from the reserve retired list, but they had his rights for a while. I think the most likely outcome here is, it's from right now, there is what's called a reserve did not report list. Now, I don't exactly know like what the timeline is on this, but I will tell you that we've seen this happen before, where a player doesn't report to training camp sometime during the season. There's a holdout situation. That player goes on a reserve did not report list or a reserve commissioner's exempt list, but generally you go to the league and you say, here's the situation, we need this spot, this guy's not here, this is not our, like, what are we supposed to do about it? And the league allows you to put him on this particular list. So he stays on a reserve list on your team, not counting on the 53 in that situation, opening up a spot, and then you kind of deal with it as you go forward, and if there is a resolution later, then you have to make that transaction. Probably what we're looking at here. I don't know. Maybe the guy decides to play. I hope that laid out everything that you needed to know about this situation. Was there anything I left out? Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm still wondering what the Bills thought Darius Slay's role was going to be and why they claimed him. We don't know that. I'm still wondering why the Bills felt it was okay to risk losing Jamarcus Ingram, because they obviously knew it was okay. They knew he could get claimed, right? I mean, they knew that. It wasn't like someone just came for him and took him. They put him out there. But I would also tell you, as much as you want to be mad about it and be mad at Brandon Bean or whatever, they knew all these things going in. Like, they knew. So there's certainly reasons that they would have. And that's where I go here, which is, what is that? And how did it go there? 803-0550 is the number to call. I hope that explained everything for you, because there's been a lot of misconceptions here about what's happening, what's going on. By the way, the Texans could waive Jamarcus Ingram next week, the week after. I think he's guaranteed like three game checks at their, you know, by them claiming they have to pay him for 3 weeks. I think they could still release him, though. And then he'd go back on waivers. Then another team could claim him, or the Bills could, and go on the 53. The Bills could also decide to just waive Darius Slay again. And then, again, he would go on waivers again, and any team could claim him. I hope that helps. That's what I got for you. Sean McDermott at about 11:15 today on injuries. I will ask Sean, the head coach of the Bills, if he has any clarity on the Darius Slay situation. My guess is he doesn't, because it's something that the personnel department is handling, not the coaching department. But we'll get with him on that, as well as injuries on the Cincinnati Bengals. In the meantime, huge, huge, huge college basketball game tomorrow. George Halkovich, UB men's head basketball coach, 8-0 on the season, joins me after this timeout. We'll get back to your phone calls as well on the Bills and Darius Slay and Jamarcus Ingram and everything. We got Sean McDermott, 11:15, Paul Hamilton, Pat Hammer, a lot going on today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Cross-court free tag. He's going to have to take the three. It is good. Right before the horn sounded.
Up against the shot clock, and free tag buries the three. That was a key. That could be the dagger there from free tag.
Even though it's a Buffalo Football Friday, we love celebrating local college hoops and other sporting events when they're going on here in the area, and it's certainly a big game tomorrow. St. Bonaventure, 8-1 on the season. The Bonnies come to town. Not far from where I'm sitting right now here in our UB Amherst Studios Alumni Arena, 2 p.m. tomorrow to take on the 8-0 University at Buffalo Bulls. And their head coach, George Helkovich III, joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Great, Sal. How are you? Good morning, man.
I'm doing well, man. I'm just looking at this. 9-22 last year. You're already 8-0 this year. Just a win away from matching last year's win total. I mean, the quick turnaround. What has been the key to success this year for you guys for this hot start?
Well, I think I mentioned it briefly when we talked a while back. We had resources. Credit to our university. When everything came in house with NIL and revenue share, we were able to. We struggled in that area a little bit our first couple of years, kind of catching up to speed in that space. So we kind of had to piece teams together and find ways to, we were younger and not as experienced. But when we were able to get the resources, that we have now, and we're still pushing the envelope there. So if there's any Buffalo, businesses out there or people who want to keep supporting the Bulls and try to help us keep growing this thing, but we take anybody. Our GM Turner Battle is doing a great job trying to raise as much money as possible for us. No, it's been able to, really put the pieces together with a team of old, experienced guys. And I think mixing in, veterans that we have coming back, but also having, being able to bring in talent like free tag, right?
Yeah.
But also bringing in talent where we took care of guys enough to where we could get players that are ready to help us, give us the depth we need to win now. So honestly, that's a straight up answer and, just really appreciative of it. And, really love coaching these guys every day.
You've had a couple of close shaves this year that you guys pulled out. Bucknell, a 2-point win. Vermont, a 4-point win. What did you learn from those situations?
Yeah, I mean, when you have guys that are older and experienced, they're usually more steady in those games, right? And I think part of our thing this whole year has been having a growth mindset. And, Angelo Brizzi in that Vermont game really set the tone in the second half for us. And then obviously Daniel Freitag has just really grown. His confidence is there. He's a big time player, big time guard, but having multiple guards with those two and Sable, where you got three different guys that could go off on a different night at the guard position that are dynamic. Even we have Derek Talton Jr. off the bench, who's coming and had a 20-point game against Green Bay, right? When you have multiple guards that could go, it just allows you to put the ball in different guys' hands and make the right play if they're trying to take guys out of it. And I think that's what happened in those games, and then free tags made some big time plays at the end of that buzzer beater against Bucknell. But we have guys that really trust what we're doing and trust each other. And when you have that, you give yourself a chance to win in tough situations.
You mentioned free tag a few times, of course, highly recruited. He comes from Wisconsin. When you approach a player like that, what's the selling point at UB, and now how much does his success here at UB help you further that message to others down the road?
Yeah, I think in order to get a guy like that, like I said, you needed some rev share. You didn't need like the world of it. You didn't need, this kid's not coming here for a transactional reason. He wanted to transform himself. And my biggest thing was I've coached NBA guards that look like you. Look at anybody in the country, and I know how to work with guys like you and get the most out of them. And I think you're a perfect fit for me, and we're a perfect fit for you. And in the process of going through the whole recruitment, he saw that, felt it, knew that we were going to build a team with other guys, and he wanted to play with other really good players. So I think he's just doing the things that, you know, we did a lot with those guys that I was able to coach at Villanova, like guys that are smaller that play bigger than they are, right? Colin Gillespie's having great success right now and coming out of nowhere for the Phoenix Suns. But Brunson, you look at him, you know, like all these guys that play above their size and get the most out of themselves. And that's kind of what my selling point was to him. And I hope that continues, that people see, like, and guys see, hey, you can be a big-time player coming to Buffalo. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. You know, we're trying to get this back to where it was in 18, 19, where we had those great runs here. And the way you do that is you need big-time players. You know, those dudes, Massenbergs, all those guys on those teams, you know, were big-time players. You know, Wes Clark, Carruthers. Like, you don't get that done without those dudes and having some guys that you know are able to go individually make plays you need, right? And I think we have multiple guys like that this year. So hopefully with Free Tag success, we can continue that.
I'm going to ask the same question to Mark Schmidt when I have him on in a little while. He's been here, you know, in this area a lot longer than you. You haven't been here that long, but you understand the landscape of sports in this area. I know they are your competitors, right? But how cool is it to see college basketball in this area thriving overall? You got you guys at 8-1. You got St. Bonaventure, St. Bonaventure at 8-1. I mean, Canisius last year won three games. I've already surpassed that after eight games with Jim Christian with four wins. And Greg Paul is building the program at Niagara. You come from Philly, where there's some really great college basketball in that area. We know that, Coach.
Yeah.
But how cool is it in this area to see the landscape of college basketball amidst an NHL team, an NFL team, and all that you have to compete with?
I love it. I'm not surprised by it. This is what I wanted to come here for. You know, I came from the Philadelphia Big Five. You know, we have the Buffalo Big Four, right? And it's a big time thing in Philly, and there's big time football there in the Eagles. You know, you deal with that. You deal with the Sixers and an NBA team and the Flyers. But college basketball is freaking huge in Philly. It is rivalry games. And I think we have the same thing in Western New York, right? I think we're, you know, hopefully there's a resurrection of Western New York basketball in terms of us all competing at the level we all want to. Great coaches, great respect for everybody. You want to be around that energy. You want people enthusiastic about it. And with the sports culture here, people love it.
Yep.
You know, I know people talk about the Buffalo Braves and all the great stories I've heard about the Buffalo Braves and back when they were here, right? And how people still remember that. And there's a huge basketball contingent of fans here. And, you know, that's great for Western New York, you know, even when the NCAA tournament's in Buffalo, people love coming to Buffalo and people love being around basketball in Buffalo. Even in that, I've played in it twice at Villanova being up here in the NCAA tournament. Right. So we want to create that here at the University at Buffalo, where you got that environment every year, year in and year out here in our city. And we're kind of looked at as that pro basketball team in Buffalo because we're here. Right. And that's my goal. Like, that's our goal, to get it there, and we're working hard at that every day.
Let's talk about tomorrow's game, 2 p.m., tip-off at Alumni Arena here in Buffalo. What's it going to take to defend and beat this St. Bonaventure team on your end?
We're going to have to be really tough. Coach Schmidt, such great respect for him and how he does things. Just, he's great X's and O's offensively, but he gets his teams to play hard, tough, and physical. And they're one of the best rebounding teams, I think, in the country. So we're going to really have to do a good job limiting them to one shot. You know, I think Simmons is a really dynamic guard that could really go and presents problems with the ball in his hands. And Frank Mitchell has a load inside, and just, you have to match his intensity and physicality. And, you know, we got to do a really good job on him. You know, but then they got other really good players that just play their role at a high level and, you know, can get going. And we got to know their personnel very well. But I think if we don't physically match them in terms of defensive rebounding and we don't do a good job in transition defense, it's going to be hard for us. So we got to do a really good job on those fronts. And then we just got to do what we do. You know, we talk about it, right? Part of it is just play our game, you know, do what we've been doing offensively to be successful. We've done a great job getting to the foul line. You know, we got to continue to set a tone physically on that end for ourselves. and making the right plays for each other and take the shots that are open and keep sharing the ball. You know, we've done that at a high level. So it's really going to come down to the defending and rebounding, and that's going to be the key factor for us going into tomorrow.
All right, we got the game for you over at 1520, the Bet 1520 here at Odyssey, 2 p.m. tip tomorrow. But obviously, you want to fill up Alumni Arena. Tickets are still available. How do people get tickets for the game tomorrow if they want to come by and watch some great college basketball?
Yeah, man, ubbulls.com. Go on there. You're going to see links to get on and check our Instagram page out, our X page out. You go on there. You'll see links on our accounts there at UBuffaloMBB, mm-hmm. right? At UBuffaloMBB or www.ubbulls.com. Get on there. We'd love to see as many people in alumni at 2 p.m. Wear your blue and white for us. We need all of our Buffalo contingent out. You don't even have to be an alum. If you're from Buffalo, you know, wear your blue and white for us, and we'd really appreciate it.
Coach, congratulations on your early season success. Best of luck as the season goes on. I am quite sure we're going to talk again, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Really appreciate it, Sal. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, you got it. That is George Halkovich, the third head coach of the University of Buffalo men's basketball team. They're undefeated, taking on a one-loss St. Bonaventure team. You know what we're going to do next? We're going to talk with the head coach of that team, Mark Schmidt. He joins me after this. Timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo football and all things Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Slow it down. DeRose for three and drills it.
All right, big game tomorrow, 2 p.m., Alumni Arena. St. Bonaventure at Buffalo. Boy, I love it when college basketball is really, really good here in Western New York. And we got some teams that are really off to a great start. Joining me on the Western Hotline right now is the head coach at St. Bonaventure, Mark Schmidt. Coach, good morning to you. Congratulations on a hot start this year. And I'm really glad we could talk about a big game going on here in Western New York this weekend.
Yeah, good morning. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Coach, let's talk about your team a little bit. I want to rewind, though. You're 8-1, great start. Your only loss is in North Carolina. You guys are down in Fort Myers. You're down 2 at the break. What did you take away from that environment and the lessons learned about a team and a game like that?
You know, it was, you know, we play those games just to make sure we're, you know, we get ready for the Atlantic 10. And, you know, going into the game, we know it's North Carolina and it's a, you know, it's a blue blood. But, you know, in the last 20 games that we've played against, you know, Power 5 or Autonomous 4 teams, we're 12-8. You know, so we don't have to take a backseat to anybody. And, you know, our guys weren't afraid. And we went in there and you know, we went toe-to-toe. And, you know, we had a shot at the half to go up by one. And then we came out the second half, and we didn't play great the first 4 minutes. And I think, you know, taking something away from that, it's like you got to play 40 minutes. You got to play 30 seconds for 40 minutes. And we didn't do that. And if you don't do that against a team of that caliber, you're going to lose, you know. But I think our guys hung in there. You know, we dealt with some adversity. And, you know, we lost by 15, but we went down fighting. And that's what I like to see.
Now, you've had a lot more success in the other games you've played. Obviously, you've won all the rest of them. You're 8-1 on the year. What has been the biggest key and the biggest reason for your early season success?
I think, you know, in today's world with the whole portal thing, NIL and guys coming in and leaving, and, you know, you have them guys for 7 months, I think the key is bringing in kids that are character kids that are team-first guys. And I think we have those types of guys. They're not looking, you know, to where they're going next year. They're trying to take care of business now. And, you know, I tell them, you know, every day is, you know, everybody's going to have their day in the sun, and you're going to be happy for when your teammate has a good game. And I think we have those types of guys that are unselfish, tough-minded, kids that love to play, but kids are team-first guys. And I think that's in today's world, that's how you're going to be successful. If not, if you have guys that are selfish and they're looking, you know, for the next, you know, team they're going to so they can get paid more, you know, you're not going to have a lot of success.
And I think that's evident in the stats on the court, too. You guys have three guys with over 20 assists already. In fact, 23, 26, 33, respectively, for Mitchell, Simmons, and Bowen. Tell us a little bit about how these guys are unselfish on the court, obviously, as well.
Yeah, they're playing together. I think, you know, we don't have, you know, those four or five-star guys. And I think our guys understand that if we're going to be successful, we're going to have to do it together. And we've done that. You know, we've hit some adversity, and you know, you may have really good guys, but when you hit some adversity, that's when you really find out what you have. And we've had some adversity, you know, the Carolina game and then East Carolina, we got down a little bit, Florida Atlantic, we got down a little bit, and our guys fought back. There wasn't any, you know, fighting in the huddles or guys looking at each other and blaming each other. They, you know, they came together, and that's what you need, you know, especially when you only have guys, you know, our guys have been together from, you know, whatever, 3 months now. But they've come together and they like playing with each other. They're learning how to play with each other. And I think we're going to, as we go along, the hope is that we can get better.
And I'm looking at some of your scores here. You've won in different kinds of ways here. How nice is it as a coach when you know you can win a different kind of game? You don't have to necessarily run a team out of the gym and have to really be high scoring. You can play the defense.
Yeah,
you know, how nice is that for you?
Yeah, we're not going to be a team. We're not a pretty team. You know, if you look at us play, it's not like we're going to, you know, be really pretty and really athletic. I just think that it's a blue collar approach. It's you know, trying to out execute the other team, trying to, you know, play harder than the other team. You know, my whole belief is, you know, you try to win the game in the paint, you know, offensive rebounding, attacking the paint, getting the ball inside. It's old school, but I still think that's the way to win ball games. And we've done that. We've won some, you know, close games. We won some, you know, blowouts, and that's good that we can win in a variety of ways where it's just, you know, a lot of times you get into a close game. If you haven't been in a close game, then, you know, you make your errors and you lose. You know, we've been in those games where we've understood what we needed to do, and we've made winning plays. Now it's, you know, it's only nine games into the season. And as I told our team, all that's guaranteed is eight wins, and eight wins isn't enough. We got to continue to get better and better and better. And that's the hope.
And you're in a really competitive conference. You have a few more games before you get there. What's the approach? As you said, you want to prepare for that. How much is it kind of learning about yourself before you get to conference play type of thing as a coach?
Yeah, it's, you know, especially now with the whole portal thing, you know, the more you can practice, the more the guys get comfortable with what you're running and get more comfortable with each other, the better you're going to be. But you need to have momentum, you know, with the way the NCAA is now, you know, you've got to win, you know, 23, 24, 25 games if you're going to get an at-large bid. You know, so the non-conference is so, so important to win games and to gain some confidence and get some momentum going into the Atlantic 10. As you said, the Atlantic 10 is, I think it's the sixth or seventh best conference in the country right now in terms of the net. So it's, you know, we better have some momentum. We better be playing well if we're going to have any success in our conference.
Mark Schmidt joining me here on the Western Hotline. You got St. Bonaventure at UB on Saturday. Before I get into this specific matchup and how awesome it's going to be to see you two go at it, you're the best person to ask, I think, here in Western New York for this. You've been around this area a long time. You've seen a lot of basketball in this area, the ups and the downs. How cool is it to have the resurgence that we see around the area of college basketball? You have UB, obviously, and George, and them taking that next step after the years that they've had. Your team at 8-1, even Canisius and Jim Christian, they won three games last year. They've already won four this year in their first eight games. How cool is that for you to see?
Yeah, it's great that we're having success in this part of the country. You know, it's, you know, George has done a tremendous job. They struggled last year, and, you know, now they're undefeated. And Jimmy's doing a great job, and even Mike McDonald.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
right. It's like, though, it's just, yeah, it's great to have success here. You know, it's sometimes we're overlooked, but we have really good coaches and good players, and I'm glad that the other teams are having success.
All right, let's talk about this game on Saturday. What's it going to take? What's the key to defending UB and playing against this team that's off to such a good start?
They're really good. You know, Georgia's done a really good job of bringing guys in, and then the guys that they've had that they kept, you know, Sable for one and Obar for a second, they've really improved. They've gotten better. But the backcourt is really, really good. Free Tag, the kid they got from Wisconsin, and he didn't play a lot at Wisconsin. You watch him play, and he's, you know, he's number one in the country in foul shot attempts. You know, the team goes to the foul line 30 times a game. They make 9 threes. They turn the ball over less than 10 times. So you can see why they're having success. You know, so their guard play, you know, if those guards play really, really well, we're going to be in trouble. You know, we've got to be able to keep them in front. We've got to be able to, you know, contest threes. We've got to be able to rebound the ball. They just, you know, Georgia's done a really good job of getting those kids to play well together. They run a lot of ball screen stuff, and they share the ball, and they can shoot it. You know, it's, you know, against Canisius, they made 13 threes. They're making 13 threes against us tomorrow afternoon. We probably shouldn't show up. you know, so it's going to be a tough game, and it's always been, you know, just like the Canisius-Niagara rivalry, Siena rivalry. Buffalo's the same way, and no matter what the teams are, even last year, they were struggling a little bit, and it was a close game in our place. So we're expecting a tough physical game, and, you know, hopefully we can pull it out by one.
And I know I come from a football world, so I know how it works with travel. You guys are so close, but the game's at 2. How does this work for you? Do you come up Friday night before the game? Do you guys come up Saturday? How does it work?
Yeah, even when we play Canisius and I, we come up the night before. Okay. We'll go tonight and shoot. And then tomorrow we'll wake up and have some breakfast and have a little bit of a walkthrough. And then get over there and, you know, around noontime and, you know, get some shots up. And hopefully we can play well and, you know, have a great game against UB.
And hopefully we'll be talking about more success for your program down the road, as well as UB and Canisius and everybody here in Western Europe. But good luck to you guys tomorrow throughout the season, through the A-10 conference, of course. And it's always great to catch up with you, Coach. It's a little bit colder this time, the last time that we talked, you and I, back in like August.
I woke up this morning, it was pretty below.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Looking at snow, I think, at the Bills game on Sunday as well. So it's that time of year, and you know what? It's basketball season, so I'm not going to complain about that. Yeah,
we play inside, Sal. It's 70 degrees in our gym.
Ah, there you go. I love it. I love it. It is St. Bonaventure at UB tomorrow, Alumni Arena at 2 p.m. Mark Schmidt, head coach of St. Bonaventure. Best of luck this year, Coach. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Sal. Appreciate it.
2 p.m. tomorrow on the Bet, 15:20 a.m. It's going to be awesome. We'll take a timeout here. Paul Hamilton on the other side. Sean McDermott as well. Bills injury update on a Friday ahead of the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Thanks for being with me today. It's a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.